go to Mark chapter 1, please. I'd like to share briefly on victory through prayer. We spent a whole week at family camp a few years ago looking at the theme of pray without ceasing. And that's a verse, of course, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's the kind of verse that you like to retimerize because it's easy to remember. Pray without ceasing. But during that week, we saw the constancy and the priority of prayer, and that really of all the things that we are to be involved with our Heavenly Father, that's really at the top of the list. It's what God desires. It's what He delights in our prayers. It can be said that what breathing is to our physical life, prayer is to our spiritual life. It's just to be what we are about, that we're to pray all the time. We're to pray without ceasing. We're to pray constantly unto Him. We're to continue in prayer. We're to pray first of all, and we're to pray finally. God would have us to pray to Him always, for all things. It certainly was exemplified by the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day." So Jesus Christ rose up a great while before the sun came up, before day. He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there, what? Prayed. And if you read this back in Mark chapter 1, he had had an extremely full, busy day the day before. But yet he organized his life, he disciplined himself to get up really early so that he could pray. He went out to a solitary place so that he could pray to God. For Jesus Christ, it was his priority. Look at Luke chapter 6. You know, if any man had demands on his time in life, was it not the Lord Jesus Christ? But yet he disciplined himself, he organized his life so that he could have time to pray. Here's another wonderful example of his prayer life in Luke chapter 6. It says in verse 12, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to do what? Pray." Mark spoke of a solitary place. Here he went out into a mountain to pray. "And he continued all night in prayer to God." You know, when I first considered this verse and thought about it, I said, well, gosh, what do you even have to pray about that would take all night? But then as I started to understand some of the exhortation of the Word, it says, you know, that we're to pray upon every remembrance of each other, to pray for all saints. You know, some of the guys that have been living with Carol and I this year, we get together in the morning and we pray for the people that we know. And we know a lot of people, including all of you. You know, you guys have been on our list. You know, it takes some time to really pray. Jesus Christ took all night to pray. And it's really unique. It's really very wonderful when you consider what was the responsibility that he was entrusted with by his Father that he carried out the next day. Because look at what it says in verse 13. "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named," what? "Apostles." So in other words, Jesus Christ had very important decisions to make, that out of his disciples would come apostles. So how did he handle that important responsibility? Well, he depended on his Father through prayer. I know that some of you have come to camp with decisions to make, you know, with important decisions as far as your life or perhaps affecting the lives of others. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is a great example, isn't he? That he prayed to God, and he didn't just, you know, pray once for a couple minutes. Here he prayed all night and then made these important decisions. Look at Philippians chapter 4, please. It takes some discipline to really stay put in prayer. The beginning of Philippians, Paul said by revelation that every time he remembered the Philippian believers, he prayed for them. That takes some discipline. You ever have people that pop into your brain, you think about? Well, you know, it's a good habit to get into is when that occurs, is to pray. You ever have situations that come to your attention, things that, you know, you're concerned about? You know, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I think of something. Does that ever happen to you? You know, you think, well, gosh, it must have been that chili they served at lunch yesterday. Or maybe just we're men and women that are filled with the Spirit of God, and God is bringing things to remembrance to our attention so we can intercede and pray. Philippians chapter 4 says in verse 6, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Again, we are to pray in everything. Is there anything that's excluded from everything? You know, is there anything time excluded from always? No, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, when you think of where we started in verse 6, it was with, you know, the potential for anxiety. You know, and that, doesn't that come up for all of us? If something comes up and, you know, it's worrisome, or it's, you know, we were talking at breakfast, stress, you know. Well, by the conclusion, verse 7, instead of being anxious and stressed, you have peace. And something facilitated that trade, that change. You know what it is? Prayer. You know, so when things are of concern, when things are worrisome, stressful, you can pray, and God promises peace instead. I like the peace side. It's a good trade. Look at Romans chapter 8. You know, God is so wonderful in the new birth, so powerful that we have the means to pray to Him perfectly, to pray even for things that we don't understand. I think one thing that becomes clear as you look at the Scriptures is that we know that we ought to pray. But then that, you know, leads to saying, okay, well, how do I pray? And what do I pray for? And oftentimes, the honest answer to that is, I don't know. I mean, you know, in terms of what to pray for. I mean, I think about it, I am closer to Carol than I've ever been and ever will be to any other human being. I mean, we've been together a long time and, you know, done a lot of stuff. But, you know, when it comes down to it, I don't really know what she needs. I mean, there's some stuff I know. But, you know, heart-wise and every-wise, I don't really know. But, you know, who does? God. And God has given me the ability to intercede perfectly on her behalf when I speak in tongues. How great is that? You know, how about the ability to even intercede in situations and for people that you don't even know about? Romans chapter 8 speaks of this. It says in verse, I'm in Romans 9, that's not going to work. Romans 8, verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity. It's singular in the text. The Spirit helps our weakness. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. It says we ought to pray, but we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. That's the weakness of our infirmity, or of our prayer life. That's the infirmity of our prayer life. We don't know what we should pray for. We know we ought to pray, but what to pray for, you know, our understanding is very limited. You know, I think it was Thomas Edison that said that man doesn't know 0.01% about anything. It's a good thing to keep in mind. And then it says, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be, what, uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he or it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, we can, by speaking in tongues, we can make perfect prayer and intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then as a result of this, what does the next verse say? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, this is a verse that you sometimes see on greeting cards, you know, or you see on little plaques that are decoupaged and then put above people's sinks, you know, all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, how about the context? You know, what's the context of everything working together for good to them that love God? It's speaking in tongues. Perfect prayer, making intercession for the saints. See, we can know, we can be assured that as we speak in tongues, that all things are going to work together for good to them that love God. You talk about victory. How about that one? You know, you talk about a triumph. You talk about being able to help and contribute and serve. We can do it in our prayer life. Now, one thing that has very much helped me, and I know is very much of help to all of us potentially, is that it's really terrific to think through how is it that I can organize my life so that prayer and the reading of the Word is a priority. We read about Jesus Christ, how he organized his life to pray. You know, here at camp, there is a structure in light of the day that is encouraging all of us certainly to get into the Word. And it's certainly encouraging all of us to pray. We have Our Power where you pray. You know, some of you are forming different prayer groups around camp and getting together and praying. We're certainly all, you know, having time and taking time to read our Bibles. But there's coming a day where we're going to, not too far from now, where we're going to drive down this hill. And what happens when you get back into your homes? You know, sometimes people can get so busy, so potentially distracted, that you lose sight of priority. And it's really good just to establish some habit, daily habits, so that you get into the Word and that you pray. Now, for me, you know, generally that means first thing in the morning. You know, before all the hubbub, before the phone starts ringing, before all the other stuff comes up, before there's all the noise and the people and everything, to pray. And when I pray, I like to pray with my Bible so I can read my Bible. I also like to pray with a notepad and a pen. Because oftentimes as you pray, that's when God gives you needed information. For the day ahead, thoughts come to mind, oh yeah, I need to do this. Then you pray a little more, and then, oh, yeah. You know, we have a little plaque on our barbecue outside our house that says, a day hemmed in prayer seldom unravels. And that's true. You start a day in prayer, and it's putting God first. Now, you know, maybe as you try it, it doesn't work, you know, for you first thing in the morning. I don't know. You know, I'm not a morning person. Well, but maybe at noon at work. You know, maybe before you go to bed at night. But sometime it's very, very important for us to prioritize our time with God, isn't it? By getting into His Word, by praying. So what we want to do here at Family Camp right now is we want to pray. And we're going to. So I'm going to send all of you out into the grounds. And this is what we've called through the years a duo. We used to call it a solo. You know, you go out solo by yourself. But it's really a duo because it's you and God. Talk about a dynamic duo. How about that? But we're going to take, maybe the next half hour or so. And if you want to take your Bible with you, if you want to take a pen and notepad with you, it's great. But go out to some quiet place. There's a place in the amphitheater. There's woods here. There's places around the camp. You don't go so far that we can't get you back by the ringing of the bell, okay? Because at the end of this prayer time, we'll ring the bell. And then at that point, we're going to go to our hour of power, okay? So enjoy your duo with God, and we'll ring the bell to bring you all back, okay? God bless you. Enjoy yourself.